In this episode, I talk with John Haver on why every serious Amazon seller needs an authority website. It's gonna get nutty.
Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Yes, you are here. You made it. Great job. Congratulations. Just in time. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Nick here from the Private Labeler Show. Welcome to episode number 43 of the Private Labeler Show, where we're helping 1,000 amazing entrepreneurs such as yourself start an online business in 2016. How the heck is your day going? Man, you know, I got to be honest here. I got to take this a little outside of Amazon here in the business world. I wish it was, you know, as much as I love summer and I'm having a great summer, I kind of wish it was November right now. Only reason being, I am sick and tired of hearing about politics and the election, Trump and Clinton and Bernie and oh my God. So not to get political, I don't care who you're for or against, don't matter. But man, I am just over it. Just let's just get it done with. Let's have the election and let's just move on with our lives. It feels like everywhere you go, people are talking and man, oh man, it's getting annoying. So with all that being said, let's make Amazon FBA great again. So in this podcast episode, I talk with John Haver of authoritywebsiteincome.com, and we're going to talk all about authority websites. Now I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but if you are a listener, maybe a first-time listener, and you're looking for your first product to sell on Amazon, then check out my quick start guide. You're going to want to go to privatelabelershow.com/guide. So pop that in your browser. And basically, I'm going to send you a guide right to your email that'll help you get started with the process of kind of, you know, finding a product to start selling on Amazon if you want to start private labeling. So, or you can just go right to privatelabelershow.com and check out the blog as well, and you'll be able to find the link there. And if you are also, again, a first-time listener, make sure you check out the start page by going to privatelabelershow.com/start. It'll take you to the podcast start page and kind of get you rocking and rolling and on the path that you need to be on if you have not or have never tuned into the podcast before. So make sure you check that out. Now, a couple quick things here. I'm still seeing people having problems in the Facebook groups with UPC codes. I've talked a lot about this in the past few weeks or months or whatever. And you know, obviously Amazon had a policy change. And again, I'm still seeing people in the groups complaining that they're having issues with the UPC barcodes that they've purchased from online websites and things like that. With Amazon's new guidelines on that, there's some changes that were made and people are still trying to get caught up to speed on that. But I just want to assure you that I use easyupc.com, as I talk about all the time. And again, they assured me, which I assured you guys, that their codes are going to be compliant, so you shouldn't have any issues with that. So just make sure you check them out as well. If you're looking to add some new products to your assortment or your first product, make sure you pick up your UPC codes at easyupc.com, because if you do and you use the code PLSHOW at the checkout, you'll save 20% on your purchase of UPC codes. Again, you need those codes. You might as well get ones that work and that are going to continue to work with Amazon, and you might as well save a couple bucks with that. So again, easyupc.com, PLSHOW at checkout, save 20%, which reminds me, I got to get some more codes because I got some new variations, new products launching, but that's besides the point. All right, so let's dive in here, and I'm going to play the interview that I did with John Haver. He is an authority website expert, and he's got a really awesome strategy by using authority sites to drive additional traffic to your Amazon listing. So we're going to talk all about that in just a second. But in case you're wondering, you're listening to this, like, what is an authority website? Don't worry, we're going to cover a lot of that in the detail of the podcast. John will go over all that. So it should make perfect sense if you're unfamiliar with what that is. Essentially, just a quick Cliff's Notes. You're going to have, let's say you have a grilling accessory brand. Maybe you have 3-4 products on Amazon. What you can do is you can actually have a authority website that you build, again, that's going to rank on Google, maybe like a WordPress site, something like that, and you're going to provide useful and relevant content that would benefit your customer. So if you're doing grilling accessories, maybe you have a website and you're putting up blog posts around the top 10 summer recipes for grilling or whatever, and you're constantly putting out blog posts and content on a regular basis, that's going to attract your potential customer for your Amazon products. And those blog posts are going to get found in Google, as an example, if they're doing a Google search. And the customer is going to find your posts and read the content, get a lot of value from that. And then within those posts, it's going to be strategically designed so that it's going to push that end user, that customer, to your Amazon listing. So that's a little bit kind of in like a 101 of what an authority website is. Again, we'll cover all the other details in just a second. But it's really cool stuff. Super excited about this interview. Now, just to be very, very clear here, if you don't even have a product yet on Amazon, this isn't something that you need to necessarily worry about. Okay, so don't freak out. Just listen and gain the value and the knowledge of John here and everything that he's going to go over, and put that kind of in the back of your mind. But if you do have multiple products and you're really growing your brand and you're like, wow, I can really see this going somewhere, whatever it is that you're doing, having an authority website is really going to put you over the edge. A lot of your competitors, you know, you guys are all fighting for the sales there. And this is just that one little thing that you could differentiate yourself from the competition to drive additional sales and add value to your brand. So don't necessarily worry if you don't have products, as I mentioned. But if you do have a few products, this is definitely for you. This is something that you're really going to want to strongly consider to separate yourself from the competition. So for me personally, it's something that's definitely on my radar to get done very, very soon, so that I can take my brand to the next level, because I do have an ultimate goal down the road of selling my brand off and kind of cashing out on it. You know, that's something that is kind of coming up, and I want to get started on that. And by having my own authority website, I'll definitely be able to get there a little bit sooner. So without further ado, guys, Mr. John Haver. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Hope you're doing well. Now, today we are talking about taking your Amazon business to the next level by creating an authority website around your Amazon brand. Now, I am super excited to introduce to you Mr. John Haver of AuthorityWebsiteIncome.com. Welcome to the show, John.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nick. Thanks for having me, and love what you're doing with your challenge and your podcast. So happy to join you here.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your summer. How's things going for you? Kind of hitting towards the end of July here. I know we were just talking a little bit before the call here. You're Canadian, so if you want to say hello to all the fellow Canadian listeners, I know we got quite a few. So how's your summer been going so far? What have you been up to?
Yeah, no, my summer has been fantastic. So it was actually a substantial summer for me as far as business direction, where I had a sort of a long running online business and then been successful over the last few years, and then really kind of hit the metrics that I needed to leave the day job. So left the kind of the corporate world behind as of earlier this summer, and then just been loving the Canadian summer and spending time with family and building my businesses. So it's been great.
Awesome. So you left the 9-to-5 essentially, huh? So you said it feels pretty good, huh?
Yeah, no, it feels fantastic, and long time coming, but the expectations of how good it would be have been exceeded by the reality of how good it is. So yeah, it's fantastic.
That's awesome stuff, man. Awesome. So spending more time with the family, having more freedom, that's what it's all about, folks. Now, John, if you could just give the listeners out there in podcast land a little bit of your bio, just about your experience online as an online entrepreneur and even as an Amazon seller, which we'll touch a lot more on the Amazon stuff in a little bit, but if you could just give people the one-on-one on who the heck you are.
Sure. Yeah. So I've been online for quite a while, working different businesses. Initially, it started out very much as a hobby kind of 7 years ago. Some people play, computer strategy games. I thought building online businesses was kind of cool. I certainly didn't get very serious about it until the last 3-4 years, when my son was, realized that I was going to become a father, have a family, and that the 9-to-5 job and the career trajectory I was on wasn't going to mean that I was going to be spending more time at home. So I looked to, leverage my online business to set ourselves up to move back to our hometown, which we did this summer. And, the majority of my online business has been focused on building up content sites, authority sites. The FBA space sounded super cool, but also pretty competitive, and until I had what I thought it was a competitive advantage, I didn't really want to throw myself at it. And then over the last handful of months, I've been really focused on the business model of using Amazon affiliate sites and external websites to drive traffic to my Amazon FBA business and launch FBA businesses off the back of authority sites. And so that's been a big focus recently, having success and a lot of fun with that. And yeah, looking to, you know, continue to grow some of my online businesses. That, you know, the main focus area for me around sort of my own presence is Authority Website Income. And then also we'll talk a bunch about brand builders as well.
Awesome. So for everybody listening out there, today we are talking a lot about authority websites and why you as an Amazon seller would want to build one or have one built around your brand. Now, in my opinion, you know, this would really allow you to set yourself apart from the competition, as you kind of mentioned, and just completely dominate if you kind of do it right. So as we know, there's a ton of competition on Amazon. We're always talking about it. How do we have a leg up on the competition and all these things related? So John's got a really awesome strategy around authority websites that allows you to drive a lot of extra traffic to your Amazon listing and in return make more money, which last I checked is a really great idea. Now, if you could just explain to the listeners, John, out there, you know, exactly what an authority website is, kind of like a 101. So, you know, if I'm a listener out there, I'm going, what does he mean, authority site? Is that just like a regular website? Is that a Shopify site? What is he talking about? Like, could you just kind of give the listeners out there a sneak peek of like what an authority site is?
Yeah, sure thing. So, I mean, it's a site that is, you know, I know you talk a lot about kind of grilling products. And so, I mean, the scenario is, imagine somebody who is really into grilling and has a website about everything to do with grilling. And as part of that site, they also mention the grilling products that they have associated with that site. And ultimately say, this is the best grilling product that I have for this site. And it ends up driving people to Amazon. So, you know, you'd have the five best grill brushes of 2016, and then have a review of each of the grill brushes, mentioning your own product in there, and then driving people to Amazon to buy your product. So it's an authority site is a site that has useful content around a given topic, and you establish yourself as an authority in that space with the quality of the content that you produce around that topic.
Okay, excellent. Now, is this like a WordPress site essentially that one would set up?
It can be on anything. I mean, every site I have is on WordPress. So, yeah, I mean, WordPress, I'd be hard-pressed to find a reason to not have WordPress for an authority site. But so, yeah, the short answer is definitely go with WordPress.
Okay, so let me just kind of frame this here for the listener and just for myself just so we can confirm. So we're going to have a website that we're going to try to rank on Google, okay, and all the other search engines. And obviously that takes time. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. So we're going to be publishing useful and relevant content to our audience or to our avatar. Now, if we're talking about the grilling space, as you mentioned, you know, there's other grilling accessories that one might need. There's, you know, there's grill brushes, all things related. There's tons of different accessories. And if I am a consumer or a fan of grilling, naturally, I'm going to go to Google when I'm looking for things like grilling recipes, grilling supplies, all things related. So what you're saying is we're going to be publishing useful content that is going to get ranked on Google, and we're going to get kind of found in the search engines. And then essentially when somebody goes on my website, you know, I'm going to be providing that content in the form of blog posts or whatever it might be, and they're going to potentially see my product kind of on that site, you know, kind of mentioned in those posts, and they can obviously click on it, and it's going to take them to Amazon, and they can obviously buy it. So Amazon obviously is going to love you for that, right? Like first and foremost. So they're going to love it when you drive that external traffic. Am I not mistaken on that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how it impacts the ranking factor, but I mean, Amazon rewards you by having an affiliate program. So for every person you send that buys something, you get a commission on it. You can get up to 8%. So yeah, Amazon loves it and rewards people for it.
So we're talking about like Amazon, you're just creating an Amazon Associates link from your piece of content, right? So you can obviously track it, and you can obviously make a bunch of money by doing that. And that's what a lot of people do, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, excellent. So if I'm a seller out there, I just got maybe a few products in my grilling brand that I'm kind of building my vision. Like, isn't selling on Amazon enough? Like, why do I need to worry about extra websites and things like that? Shouldn't Amazon just be enough, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question. So I mean, and sort of coming back to the competition side, is it enough? Sure, it depends on the size of the business that you're wanting to grow and what your ultimate sort of exit long term plan is with the business. From a immediate term competition standpoint, You know, if you're doing everything on Seller, you know, you have a well optimized listing. You have you've got your PPC campaign going and your ACOS. You're running it right to break even. You know, you're doing everything that you can to drive sales within the Amazon platform, but your competition has all those same levers to pull as you do, and so there's really no differentiator between you and your competition. If you have a private label product and doing everything that your competition is doing, so how do you put yourself ahead? And it doesn't take much, but you just need to get ahead of the rest of the competition. And the way that I like to do that is by driving external traffic to the listings from your site. So if that competition that you're trying to match up to is doing all those same best practices on Seller, but then they don't have an external traffic source to drive other sales, then you can start to beat them. And as we all know, the sort of the rewards don't get distributed equally to all listings, right? The top listings start generating more sales, which then generates more sales. And so the key from a competition standpoint is just to get in front of your competition, and that's how an external website can really help separate you from the competition.
Awesome. So that's really interesting. So for all the listeners out there, just think about what he said there. Essentially, a lot of products on Amazon are being sourced by the same suppliers through Alibaba or whatever. It's same. A lot of people are selling roughly the same products as everybody else as their competition, not too much different. We all kind of have this, similar listings. And obviously, in the back end, where you talk about PPC, you talk about keyword strategies, there's some things you could really do to set yourself apart from the competition. But to really put it over the top, John, I think what we're talking about is, driving that external traffic, because you're going to get so many benefits from it. Now, I guess at what point, though, would a seller want to consider setting up their own authority site? So, like, at what point do I want to kind of go to that level? What would you say? What's an average?
Yeah, so it depends on who you are, the amount of time you have, and the capacity that you have sort of with this comfort. So I guess what I would say is that, absolutely, this is something new. There's always 100 or something different. There's always 100 extra things you can do to help separate your business from other people. This is one very effective strategy. What I would say is, if don't put this between you and starting, unless you have the bandwidth to do that and not slow yourself down. So the sooner the better. But what I would say is that the most important thing is to get started, and don't let, thinking that you need this, need a website that can drive external traffic, be the reason to not get started. The key is to get started. And then as soon as you have any amount of sort of spare capacity between sort of financial resources or time to start an authority site, I suggest start it. I mean, Google takes time for an authority site to rank, and that the traffic doesn't come overnight. And so the sooner you start, the sooner the traffic will start coming.
Okay, excellent. Now, I know you obviously have a lot of experience with this. Now, how much sales, or like what percentage of sales could you say, like a built-up authority site, let's say you've established it 6 to 12 months, it takes time to obviously develop it and rank it in Google. What percentage of sales would you say comes from an authority site compared to like what you get on Amazon? Is it 10%, 20%, 30%? Like what's a rough estimate, do you think?
Sure. So I can say the exact numbers from sort of a site where I already had an authority site, and then I used that authority site to be the engine that drove my FBA business. And so in that case, I was driving sort of, if I look at my if I made 100 sales, 25 of them had come from my affiliate site, 75 of them had come through Amazon. And that's kind of what, so it's kind of 25% came through my affiliate site, 75 through Amazon. Obviously going to be very kind of dependent on the amount of traffic you end up driving and everything in Amazon. But I mean, what's useful to know there is that as soon as you have a site that is driving traffic, it can help push it's for every one sale you make through an external channel, it's worth more than just that one sale, because it's pushed up your sales, it's pushed up your reviews, and it ultimately increased your organic sales on Amazon.
Excellent. Okay, so how many out there listening right now would like to have, roughly like a 20 to 25% increase in their sales through an affiliate or an external site, an authority site, kind of driving that traffic? I think everybody would be ecstatic about that. I know I would love that if obviously it takes time to rank these sites, but you know, if somebody told me, hey, you're going to get an additional 20 to 25%, you know, increase in sales, and obviously that's more money in my wallet. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome. I'll take that all day long. So, John, I want to talk a little bit more about the benefits of having, you know, an authority site. We already touched on, you know, some of the main ones, but can you just give me some more of the benefits out there? So obviously we talk about, you know, driving that additional traffic, you know, creating additional sales and things like that, ranking better organically. That's all great. But what are some of the other benefits that somebody would gain by having an authority site that we didn't talk about yet?
Sure. So the key sort of additional benefit that I realized here recently, I had built up an FBA business and then sold it over the course of ultimately we've kind of been in business for 8 months before it was sold for several six figures. And you know, one of the key differentiators with that sale was the diversification of risk of that business by having that authority site. So when we have, and I have them as well, you know, sort of an exclusive and only on Amazon FBA business, you're at the mercy of Amazon. You're one email away saying your seller account has been suspended from your business going to zero. Of course, you can appeal, et cetera, but you know, you live with that risk. And in my business that I sold and I'm still a part of, you know, that risk still exists, but it's not. I'm not out of the game if that happens because I have the external traffic. So by having both, I've been able to diversify the risk that if Amazon shuts me down, I can then just drive that traffic to my own branded website to make sales. And then in addition, that increases the overall value of the business. So sort of for point of reference on what that value increase is, that right now an affiliate site will sell, depending on the marketplace, but sell in kind of the 27 times monthly earnings, whereas an FBA business seems to be selling more around the 22 to 24 times monthly earnings because of that sort of single point of failure with Amazon. So by having some diversification of being able to drive external traffic to either your Amazon listing or your own e-commerce site, then you can increase the value of your business if you ever do look to sell.
Okay, excellent. So for the listeners out there, you want to obviously end up diversifying at some point if you're serious about it, like a long-term vision for your business. Again, you don't want to keep all your eggs in that one basket because, as John mentioned, you know, you never know. You get an email from Amazon saying that they don't like this or that, and it can obviously cause you problems. Hopefully it never gets to that point. More than likely never will, but you never know. So you obviously want to have, over time, some plan of diversification so that way if something bad does happen, you at least have some other channels that you're creating some sales from through your own systems and things like that that you completely control, which is, you know, extremely important in my opinion, because everybody needs to know, you know, Amazon runs its own sandbox there. Like, you don't own that listing, you don't own that any of that stuff. They do, and it's their call, their decisions. So having kind of those safety nets set up for a long-term vision for your brand is extremely, extremely important in my opinion. Now, another thing too, we didn't really talk about this yet, but when you have your own authority site or your own websites and your own system set up, you can generate email lists, correct? Like, how can you just tell the listeners about maybe some of your experiences with that? Like, what are the benefits of that then in terms of your Amazon business?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's actually something that I've been doing a lot of experimenting with recently. It's maybe a little bit more of an advanced strategy but I've been sending people through a funnel before they go to Amazon to get opt-in to an email list to then get a small coupon for my product, a small discount for the product that they'll end up buying. And so that, you know, helps increase the conversion rate on the page. But what, you know, the most significant thing it does is it's allowed us to start building up our email list. We're getting anywhere from kind of 80 to 100 opt-ins a day right now of people that have raised their hand saying that they want to buy the product that we are selling. And then what that's allowed us to do is, you know, follow up with them to help get that sale. But then what we found has been, you know, really, really fantastic is, you know, if, for example, if it's in the grilling product space, if you come out with a barbecue set or the claws, like whatever your first product was that they had signed up for, there's a reasonable chance that they will also be interested to buy your next product. And so when it comes time to launch your next product, you have a list of people that have already raised their hand saying that they're interested in grilling products from you. And you can, you know, use that list to promote your own products, and also just following them up with any kind of email sequence to sell related products or even related but non-Amazon offers, if it's in the health space, for example.
Yeah, excellent. So the email list, folks, extremely important. If you've been following me at any of the podcasts, I always talk about the audience and the email list, how crucial it is. So you can generate, over time, really large email lists if you're kind of doing things right. And those lists, as John mentioned, can be a massive, massive asset to your business, because if you don't have an email list, it's not the end of the world, but it just makes things a little bit more difficult. You have to find out, okay, if I have a new product I want to launch, how do I do that? How do I get it in the hands of people that actually want to buy it so that I can kind of jolt the sales on Amazon, get reviews, whatever it might be? You got to pay for blast or burst services out there. That costs money, or you can go through other ways. But if you already had your own on-demand, on-call email list that you just have to, kind of type up an email and then hit send, and then away you go, your product is launching and people are loving it, and you're generating sales because of it, that's huge. So the authority site, I think, with the email list is definitely the route to go for the long-term vision. Now, John, you mentioned a little bit about your Amazon FBA story, and I kind of want to dive down deep into that. So can you just tell the listeners about your experience with Amazon FBA, like how you got started in the FBA business, and linking that to your site and things like that? I think you kind of briefly mentioned it, but I kind of want to dive down into that for the listeners out there. And I believe you ended up selling that. So if you could just kind of walk us through what all happened there and kind of why it was cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I mean, like probably most people that have, are listening to this podcast, they've heard about Amazon FBA and thought, this sounds fantastic. And I mean, I like most people have to fight the urge of starting too many new projects. And so, the rule I try and make for myself is I don't start anything unless I have kind of a clear competitive advantage. And so the majority of my business is around building, starting new and buying authority sites. And running that portfolio of sites. One of the sites that I had ended up buying from an individual that makes exceptional sites. He now runs Brand Builders, so we've partnered with that. He built an affiliate site. I ended up buying it from him. It was only making kind of $100 a month at that time. Using some of the strategies that I have built that site up, it was making kind of $1,000 a month then. And then I looked at the products that it was selling on Amazon and realized that most of them were likely private labeled products. And then I went ahead and ordered in a bunch of those products and started my FBA journey with that site. And then over the course of, it was kind of September, I decided I was going to start it, moved very aggressively to get into the business. And then, had the Q4, was able to get the benefit of, the Christmas push. And then in end of January, I started looking to sell it. And then in April, I was able to sell it. And so I was just kind of built it up to kind of a 10K a month net business. And then between the sale price plus the earnings, I was able to sort of pull about 350K out of that business over the course of those 8 months, which was I mean, certainly exceptional for myself and for this business.
Wow, that's beyond exceptional. I think the vast majority of people listening would be ecstatic with that outcome. So it would change a lot of lives and allow a lot of people to have some freedom in their lives. So very cool. Now, I guess, that kind of brings me to the next thing, too, is it seems like all the rage right now that people are really kind of taking a hard look at, I don't know, we call it selling Amazon businesses or flipping Amazon businesses. Like, is this something new that I'm just kind of hearing about, or is this becoming like a more popular thing that people are realizing there are buyers out there, hungry buyers to buy Amazon businesses right now? Is that do you have a lot of knowledge in that, or obviously you went through the process, but what can you tell the listeners about all that?
Yeah, so I can definitely say that for a very long time, the people that were running FBA businesses were people that had started them, and there was not necessarily the same amount of knowledge. So, I mean, one of the downsides to FBA becoming, as popular as it has become, is the level of competition that has showed up. But on the flip side, the level of sort of interest in information in the space that has gotten most people that look to invest online familiar with what an Amazon FBA business is. And a lot of the brokers in the space have become sort of had their processes set up to be able to sell those products. So, you know, what I could say is that, you know, it's hit that sort of the sweet spot of, you know, people, and there's enough people that have an FBA business and they're looking to sell, combined with enough people that are looking to be buying online businesses, being familiar enough and comfortable enough with the model that there are quite a few transactions that are occurring of FBA businesses being bought and sold.
Excellent. So if anybody's got that grand vision out there of, you know, building up a really cool brand that you're proud of and obviously generates you a bunch of money, could be a business opportunity down the road if you kind of play your cards right and you have that plan, that exit strategy, that you could end up flipping that business and making a considerable amount of money. And then who knows after that, start up another Amazon brand and just kind of keep doing it over and over again. Is that what you're going to do, or are you pretty much just kind of going in a different direction right now with your brand builder stuff?
No, I'm definitely very much active in building new Amazon FBA businesses and running several that I have on the go right now. So it's certainly a big focus of mine right now is the combination of running authority, you know, merging the sort of my experience of running authority sites plus increasing my abilities to run Amazon FBA businesses. So that's definitely a big focus of mine right now.
Excellent. Now, I want to transition here and kind of get real practical here for a minute with the audience. How can people get started? Let's say, you know, they have a little bit of time on their hands, they're serious about this business, and they want to start an external channel at some point. Maybe they do have a little bit of capital or a little bit of time, a little bit of knowledge. Usually, like, what's the first step that somebody can take as far as like being practical? And how can we pair that in with like Amazon Brand Registry? Because that seems like a common thing that leads people to starting their own websites is the Amazon Brand Registry. It's kind of how it led me to start an external channel at some point. It's because of the Amazon Brand Registry, and I've talked about that in the past in some of the podcasts. I didn't get real deep with it, but like, can you just kind of walk people through like how to get started? What should they be thinking about as like the first step, and how do you kind of pair that with Amazon Brand Registry?
For sure, yeah. So the first step is, you know, and for people that don't know what Brand Registry is, it's basically just providing Amazon with enough information that they can validate that you are the owner of that brand. And so the key part of that is to be able to have a website that has your product on it that is at your company's name as the domain name. So, you know, for somebody, you know, if it like this sounds great but too complicated, what should I do just now? That's the, you know, sort of the minimal amount of effort, but for some, you know, at least some initial benefit. And what that looks like is sort of the process of building a simple website. And the way that I like to do that to give yourself the ability to kind of grow on it into the future is, you know, buy the domain name that is attached to your brand on Amazon. Put up a simple WordPress website. Certainly you don't need to get into the details on kind of how to do that here, but you know, there's plenty of online tutorials. You know, I would say that if anybody that chooses to invest a day of effort will be able to have a half decent looking site by the end of the day. Maybe a little bit more than that, but it certainly doesn't need to be some crazy complicated activity that's going to take you a week or anything. So, you know, there's plenty of really nice themes out there that you can buy, and just get a website up that has your product on it, your product name, and ideally your SKU numbers on it as well. And then with that, you can tell Amazon that I'm the manufacturer of this brand, and it gives your seller account some additional benefits to helping you kind of control your listings and fight off any potential hijackers.
Yeah, excellent. So I've talked a little bit about that in some of the past podcast episodes. Now, if somebody's just maybe brand new listening to the show, when you talk about hijackers, what are you talking about there?
Yeah, so what can happen with hijackers is they can come onto your listing and say, you know, for example, let's say you're selling grilling accessories, and if you are, you know, say you're Weber and you have your tongs. If somebody can come onto that listing and say, well, I have those as well to sell, and they're the same, they're made by the same company, when in fact what they're selling is can be a sort of a cheap knockoff version of it. And then what can happen is, you know, they'll say that they'll sell, whereas you're selling, you know, your nice branded product for $30, they'll say we can sell it for $10, and they'll start stealing some sales. And then what can happen is you can, you know, both lose sales and then also start getting really negative reviews because the product that they're selling is subpar to what your branded product is. And so that can really hurt both your immediate sales that you're losing out on, plus your longer term sort of business because of the inferior products and counterfeit products. And so having brand registry gives you some sort of additional tools to be able to help fight off the hijackers.
So I actually did can't remember what episode it was. I did like an entire segment on hijacking. So I'll try to link that up in the show notes for everybody listening if you want to learn more about that. But obviously, if you are Amazon brand registered, like you mentioned, it does give you some additional protections, but they do require that you have a website. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to have all the glitz and glam. It's got to be pretty basic, but Amazon kind of gives you the guidelines and then they'll kind of review it and go, okay, cool. And Amazon Brand Registry, as John mentioned, does give you some additional protections to kind of fight off some of these hijackers for them, like editing and changing around your listing and, you know, a few additional benefits to it. But I guess for everybody out there, you can kind of start a WordPress site. It's not real complicated, obviously, just to throw something basic up there. I mean, if I could do it, just about anybody can do it, okay? Now, I guess I want to kind of talk more about, like, the next steps of that. So for me specifically, John, I made it very clear on this podcast that the reason why I had an external channel that I'm kind of slowly building was because of brand registry. And I thought, well, I got this domain name. I got this kind of pseudo half, you know what, site sitting there. I have some spare time here and I have a little bit of knowledge in this. Might as well start doing something with it. And it kind of snowballed into me thinking, geez, I should be doing a lot more with this and kind of slowly building this up and building it up and up and up. And I think that's where I'm at right now, where I'm going, geez, I really need to take this to the next level. I need to think about an authority site because I do want to take advantage of all the benefits of that. So for somebody that wants to take it to the next level, you guys have a site called Brand Builders. Was it brandbuilders.io?
Yeah, brandbuilders.io.
Okay, so you guys have brandbuilders.io. And if you could just give the listeners out there, tell them a little bit about what it is.
Sure. So I mean, what Brand Builders is a company that helps people with done-for-you Amazon affiliate sites or Amazon FBA seller branded sites. So if you're just looking to come in and just do enough, you know, point and pay for a brand registry site, there's a package for that. Or if you're looking to build up, you know, a giant authority site, there's a package for that. And so, you know, I partnered, you know, saw the need when I got into FBA and partnered with actually the person that I ended up, which I bought the site from, that ended up selling for the you know, the $300,000 sale of the site plus the FBA business. I purchased it from his personal portfolio, and it was one of the best sites that it was the best affiliate site that I'd ever seen built. And then went to him with kind of what the need here was based on, you know, my interaction with other sellers who were looking to, you know, expand on their affiliate site or set up their own branded site. So that's where Brand Builders came from, is just to offer, you know, people that are looking for a done-for-you solution to having an external affiliate site or external branded site, have that option available to them.
Okay, excellent. Now, for me specifically, I can tell the listeners out there, you can obviously make it work. If it depends upon how much time you have or knowledge, or some people are just don't want to deal with it at all, and they're looking for that done-for-you solution, and Brand Builders obviously be a great stepping stone to kind of, you know, start to consider. But if you're, the first things first, if you're serious about your long-term presence on Amazon and your business, you're going to want to get brand registered. We've established that. There's benefits to it. So in order to do that, again, you're going to need a basic site. I think that, you know, most people could probably walk themselves through it. But again, if you're one of those people that says, I just don't have the time, or I don't care to learn how to put up a WordPress site, then look at a company like Brand Builders. Obviously, they're going to, like John mentioned, they have like a done-for-you kind of service just to get your brand registered, set it up, things like that. But I think what most people are going to go is, well, I got, like I did, I have this website now, I'm brand registered, cool, I have some benefits, but I want to take it to the next level. So Can you give me some like examples of maybe some success stories that some of your clients have had with their sites? Obviously, you talked a little bit about yourself, and you know, had some great success with that, which is awesome. But do you have any examples of people that you've worked with for their FBA business as far as like having some benefits from it?
Yeah, sure. There's been a few people that sort of certainly kind of come to mind. Obviously, you know, won't reveal the niche, but sort of one in what would be similar to the niche of the grilling accessories was a company that was doing well on Amazon, but they were just kind of struggling to really break through and get to that kind of that first page positioning pretty quickly after the site was created. What we do with brand builders is sort of a package of, you know, build a great looking site and then have a program of just content and backlinks being published at a you know, predictable rate for as long as needed. And that, you know, Google loves both of those things, and that can be enough depending on the niche to start getting some external traffic. And what this seller was able to do was really kind of push their a few of their products that they were focusing on and push them over the kind of the hurdle, so to speak. And once they sort of pushed a product for long enough, they were able to, you know, start swapping out what product that they were pushing through their website and turn their business, you know, between that and some other stuff that they were doing, basically doubled what they were capable of doing with their site within 6 months. And that was certainly not a sort of a standard outcome, but they did a fantastic job of leveraging that site, getting some initial traction, leveraging that initial traction, and then using it to the kind of the fullest of the ability to expand their site. So that was certainly one that came to mind. And then another person who's been having success with a brand builder's package is a Scott Volker from The Amazing Seller. He's been one of the first customers, and his site, it's a bit seasonal, so it's a little bit down through the summer, but that business had that website had been seeing pretty steady sort of 11 to 15% month over month growth. So I mean, from a sort of longer, you use that growth rate and extend that out for a few months, and you're certainly getting up to some substantial traffic.
That's excellent. Now, I'm just kind of curious here. So let's just say I came to you and said, hey, I really want to take this to the next level. I want to do all these great things. I want to have this website built. So you guys are you're telling me that you guys will literally build out the site. Like, do I have influence on that? So like, is there a consultation where I say, this is my vision, and you guys are going to kind of take that and build a site around what I want, and, you know, kind of actually just fill it with content as well, right? So like, tell me about what would I get besides just a website, like the bones to it? Like, what do you guys all do?
Sure. So the majority, I mean, there's plenty of stuff in the online space that with, you know, search engine optimization that, you know, people like me confuse people with. What it comes down to is, you know, a well-built site with quality content, with quality links going to it. And if you get that right, you know, enough times, Google is going to reward you with rankings and traffic. And so we focus on producing, you know, incredible looking websites, you know, not your standard kind of affiliate looking site. And then really, really high quality content. Again, not your outsourced lower quality stuff, but this is, you know, content that goes through, you know, writers and then expert editors, and then setting that up on a, you know, the more content, the more authoritative the site is. And so what it comes down to is really dialing up the amount of content that gets published and the quality of that content. That's really the kind of the key of what Brand Builder's core is. And then we definitely do add on some of the marketing, you know, the cherry on the sundae, so to speak, as far as setting up, lead gen magnets to help build your email list, potential tripwire offers to start getting some buying customers in the door. And so really kind of work with you to try and come up with a strategy that will be right for your space. So kind of every site has that core of a great looking site with great content. And then also at the same time, really increase some of the marketing tactics by adding on some of the kind of the expert advanced strategies.
Excellent. So you guys, it seems like, take care of just about everything, like when it comes to SEO, the backlinking, which we don't have to get too in depth on or anything, but all like the core essentials of a site that ranks in Google, that does well, that is putting out quality content that people want to read. You know, obviously it's going to, you know, get ranked in Google. How long does that typically take? So obviously if you're brand new to the show, or you're just not that knowledgeable in, you know, Google websites and things like that, but how long can you explain to like the listeners that it takes? Because obviously you don't just put a website up and then tomorrow it's all of a sudden just crushing it on Google and everybody's like in love with this site. It's a process, right?
Yeah, I wish it was that easy, but no, it definitely isn't. So what I like to say and what I look at with my own sort of sites that I'm continuing to build with the same strategy is that, you know, within 3 months, you like to see kind of some sort of a trickle of consistent traffic. So kind of like, you know, the 10 visitors a day, nothing that is going to be amazing. And then sort of the 6 month mark, start to see some consistent sales. Consistent traffic, kind of ideally getting up to that, you know, kind of the 100 visitor a day mark would be ideal, and then starting to trickle in some sales. And then at the kind of the 1 year mark, that's when you're, you know, hopefully getting up to, you know, in an ideal world, the, you know, and this again, no, of course, no guarantees with how Google treats sites, but I mean, what my sites are a success if I'm kind of at the 1,000 visitor a day mark and generating consistent sales every day. That's kind of the 3, 6, 12 month timeline, but it always varies. Sometimes it beats that, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, so just so you guys know, all the listeners out there, this is a process. Like, you put that site out there, it's going to take time. And what you're saying is that brand builders and you guys have kind of plans to obviously push that content out there, and you guys kind of take care of the framework so that over time it's going to, you know, build up its authority. Hence authority sites, and build up its rankings and things like that. So if I'm the end user, if that's me that I paid for the service, what you're saying is I kind of just essentially sit back for a lot of it, and you guys handle like the heavy lifting, correct?
We definitely handle. I mean, the intent is that it is a base that you don't need to, like, if all you want to do is say, you know, get me a site, I don't want to understand anything, I just want a site and want it to start working, that's the package is meant for that. The people that have had the most success, you know, this is kind of meant to be the foundation, and those that go out and do real kind of genuine outreach within the niche are the ones that have seen the biggest, fastest results. And so it certainly is a complete done for you for that foundation of everything you need. And then if people that can go out and do that additional sort of more personal outreach to get some additional, you know, links and content and some other kind of just marketing strategies online, they're the ones that seem to have, that certainly have the most success with it.
Okay, and then we didn't really even talk about social media. Is that involved with your guys' services, or is that up to the customer to kind of handle the social media aspect of their brand for their audience?
Yeah, we've been asked many times, but we try and focus on what our kind of core competency is, and I mean that's on the, you know, building the sites, the quality content, and the links. That's where our core competency sits, and so we've not other than tying people's social accounts into into the website so that they're not completely separate, so that, you know, they are integrated. So they're integrated in the website design, but they aren't. We don't do any management of social accounts.
Okay,
or creation.
Gotcha. Just thought I would ask. I know that people, obviously, like, one of the things that a lot of people do is if they don't have a website or anything, they'll at least throw up like a, you know, an Instagram or something like that, or a Facebook, just again, yeah, kind of fake it out, if you will.
Sure.
You know, and kind of sporadically
have some,
post content to it, you know.
Yeah, have some method of communication with their potential audience. So no, it makes sense, but I mean, as a starting point.
Yeah, excellent. Now, what else can you tell us about what you guys offer, or any other like kind of words around? We've covered a lot, obviously, so I don't want to overwhelm any of the listeners with like, oh, geez, they need to start a website and they only have a product or two up. I don't want to confuse anybody into thinking that this is like a step you have to take tomorrow. I want to just let you know that, you know, if you want to take things to the next level, and if you want to have a leg up on that competition, as we talked about, and depending upon what your goals are, what your visions are for your Amazon products and your FBA business, everybody's going to be a little bit different. For me personally, you know, I have kind of an ultimate vision, and John, you and I were talking before, you know, I have like an ultimate vision down the road sometime of selling my brand off at some point. Like that to me is appealing. I know it's appealing to a lot of people, but there are obviously people out there that are like, you know what, I got a product or two up there right now. I'm just making some, you know, some side cash. I'm hoping to quit my job someday. I want that, you know, that freedom and things like that. Like if the person that's kind of lacking the budget right now, what if they wanted to start their own site on their own? Like what's the steps that they could take? Like, do you have a website personally or content out there? Like where can they find information, like just to even start a WordPress site, just to get practical here for a second, like what can they do if they don't have the budget right now?
Yeah, so brandbuilders.io, you know, my presence online has always been about, you know, in a similar to kind of what you do as far as kind of communicating, you know, here's exactly what I do, and here's how you can do it, or we have a service that will help do it for you. So, you know, we don't hold a whole lot of, you know, secret sauce, and, you know, and we reveal everything that we do and how you could do it yourself by heading over to Brand Builders, and the content there, you know, talks to people through how to set up a site that'll be, you know, we have a, you know, a 10-point checklist to make sure that a site that you build, if you build it yourself, is ready for brand registry, just so that process goes smoothly. So, I mean, if you're looking to do it yourself, all the content over at Brand Registry is fantastic for, you know, really teaching somebody how to go from not knowing to building their own branded site. And then for those that are looking to, you know, to be, you know, efficient with their time, you know, we certainly have services that can help people with their site.
Okay, so you mentioned you have a 10-point checklist. So that's kind of to get people up and started with Brand Registry, you said?
Yeah. So if you make your own site, or if you have, you know, say your brother can make websites, or, you know, your sister-in-law can make websites, you know, give them this checklist to make sure that the site that you make is compliant with Brand Registry before you go and apply.
Okay, and they can find that on Brand Builders or what your other website, right?
Yeah, no, that's at brandbuilders.io.
Okay. Okay, excellent. So, guys, don't worry about remembering all this. We'll put all this in the show notes, absolutely, and everything that you need to know. So don't worry about writing every little thing down here. If you're listening to this while you're driving or at the gym, don't worry about it. Just make sure you check out the blog post that corresponds with this. That's all really good stuff. You know, I just kind of a side note. This has nothing essentially to do with, you know, Brand Builders at this point, but we're talking about hijacking. And I know it's kind of like a common gripe. If you ever go into the Facebook groups for Amazon stuff, it's like Armageddon for hijackers, like talking and complaining about it. Everybody's always riled up about it. And, you know, as mentioned, if you're an FBA seller, you know, we talk about, you know, I've talked about hijacking on a podcast in the past, but kind of funny that I ran across, you actually have like a little piece of software to protect against hijackers, right? I'm just kind of curious about that. What is that all about?
Yeah. No, so when I was going through the sale process of my business, I was in negotiations with the person that would ultimately end up buying the business, and we started experiencing a whole rash of hijackings of our products, and so they were starting to steal sales. And I mean, for one, it sucks when your sales get stolen. However, if you're in the process of, you know, you have a, you know, 4-month average of your business that you're applying a big multiple to, then every sale that you lose is like you're losing, you know, if it's a 25 multiple, it's like you're losing, whatever the average of that you're using. But, you know, it's a lot more than just one sale that you're losing every time you lose a sale. So get to the point where my wife, who we had just had a kid, was, you know, while she was up taking care of the child, was checking on Amazon, on our seller account, seeing if we've been hijacked, and, you know, a little bit stressful. And, you know, we thought there had to be a better way to deal with the hijackers. And what we found was, you know, the best strategy to deal with hijackers was sort of, you know, rapid, very aggressive communication that rapidly escalated to be more and more aggressive to get them off your listing. That seemed to be the best strategy that worked and still works. And so that was all predicated on being able to be notified as soon as possible that you had been hijacked. And so the tool that you're referring to, it's listingeagle.com. And what it does is it sends you a text and an email as soon as any hijacker activity on your listing has been detected, and so that you can instantly jump on there and follow, you know, whether it's you have your own strategy for communicating with them, or we provide some templates on how to communicate to get to sort of most effectively get rid of those hijackers. And so the kind of the way that if you haven't experienced hijacking, it's an efficient way to help monitor your listing to give you some peace of mind. And if you have experienced hijacking, then you can understand the pain that is associated with it.
Yeah. It's like one of those things. I don't know why I brought that up. I mean, I just remembered, like, I seen that you had something like that. But I mean, it's kind of relevant to what we were talking about, actually, with hijacking. But it's kind of like a daily thing. I don't know what you or, you know, I suppose a lot of sellers are like that, where you're constantly checking your listings throughout the day, obviously, because you want to know how you're doing, you know, see if any, you know, good, bad reviews came in. But I'm always looking for hijackers, you know, like who's on my listing, And it's almost like a daily thing. And I know that it gets a little nerve wracking, but if you have a lot of products out there, that's a lot of stuff to kind of constantly open up and click on, unless you have a virtual assistant kind of monitoring that for you. But again, they're not going to be monitoring it 24 hours a day either. So I just thought that was kind of cool. So you actually, what was the name of the website again? Listing Eagle?
It's listingeagle.com. Yeah. Partnered with a couple of people that, are kind of experienced in the space, even more experienced, and, you know, they definitely saw the need. And then we threw together a quick little tool, and the feedback has been exceptional. So it's a fun little project, and it's definitely helping a lot of sellers out.
I could just imagine myself being in like the grocery store or something like that, getting an alert on my phone that somebody's on my listing, and I'm just freaking out, like running around, you know, log it in on my phone real quick. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy out there for hijackers. Like, some people get it worse than others, you know, as far as what I've seen. But I think sometimes people cross their fingers and go, this is something that happens to other people, not me. But ultimately, I think it happens to just about everybody, at least at a certain point. So
at some point when you cross, you know, they jump on listings. If your listing's not getting any traffic, then they're not going to care. But as your listing moves up the rankings, it gets into their radar. And your story actually brings up one of my favorite kind of customer stories. Was a guy who was sitting with, like, you know, belted up his business, was taking his family on a vacation to Disneyland, and had Listing Eagle set up on his phone, and got hijacked while he was in line at Disney. Yeah. Executed, like, he just stepped, got in the line, executed the process that we recommend as far as sending the communication to the hijacker. And by the time that he'd gotten off the ride and checked his phone again, the guy was off the listing.
Wow, that's next level.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
He's like running his business, taking care of business while he's having fun at Disney World, you know, and it happens in a moment's notice. That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah, that was a fun story.
Nice. So, John, any last words for the listeners out there? Again, we covered a lot. But any last little words, bit of advice, or just anything you want to cover?
You mentioned it, and I just want to reiterate it. I mean, we've talked a lot about sort of some additional strategies that you can be using to kind of build your business, defend your business. And I mean, in the end, none of that matters unless you have a business. So, I mean, if there's anybody that's sort of, you know, on the fence about getting started, and now this is just one more thing that you have to do, ignore that. You can do nothing that we just talked about and have a successful business, as tons of people do. So, you know, I definitely want to make sure that, you know, that's communicated, that, you know, you can have a successful FBA business without any of this. If you want to grow and defend your business, then this is all great stuff to consider, but, you know, don't let this stand between you and starting. And you know, echo exactly what you said, Nick. I completely agree.
Okay, excellent. And although we did kind of mention some of the sites, and again, we'll put all this in the show notes, but, you know, where can people find you again? I know you got a couple of different sites out there that we kind of mentioned, or like, what do you want to throw out there as far as like, how can people find you online?
Sure. So, I mean, we talked a lot about brand builders, and that's at brandbuilders.io, where it's the sort of web design service for Amazon FBA sellers and affiliates. And then listingeagle.com is the hijack defense tool, you know, very sort of entry-level price tool that you can get started with. And then, you know, obviously I got a couple things on the go online. And so I kind of talk about, you know, everything that I'm doing online and share kind of all the numbers with my FBA business sale. And you can find that at authoritywebsiteincome.com. That's authoritywebsiteincome.com. And that's where I kind of, you know, that's my blog where I talk about everything that I do online.
Excellent. So again, guys, that'll all be linked up in the show notes. Check that out. Make sure you visit John's sites there. Grab that 10-point checklist that he mentioned there. It'll obviously help you in more ways than you know. So, John, I want to thank you for taking a moment out of your day. I know you got a lot going on. Seems like you're juggling a lot of projects. Although you don't have the 9-to-5 gig anymore, so I'm sure it opens up a little bit of your day. But, again, I just want to thank you so much for giving our audience a lot of nuggets and a lot of value today.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Nick. And if anyone has any questions, you know, shoot me an email, shoot Nick an email, and I'm happy to leave a comment. I'm happy to, you know, respond to. I'm sure people, this opened up a bunch of questions for people as well, and I'm happy to answer whatever questions come up. So thank you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you in the next episode. Thanks. Bye. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you and talk soon.